of the Lord. I'm going to be preaching just real simplicity, just one page. I've spoken on Moses. I speak on Moses all the time, and I hit these same errors all the time, but I always seem to get something different. Amen. It's just going to be something really simple, but true. Something simple, but very true in what we all go through. And all of us go through this area in our life, that the area of, I can't do it. I can't do it. I got to do this and this and this. We either come with excuses, or the call of God is so great that we're not ready and willing to surrender areas of our life to be able to do the call of God. So when it came to the things of the world, amen, we all passed with an A+. Amen. Putting ourselves out and literally in front street, something we thought we would never find ourselves doing, we were out there, amen, in the worst of ways. And it was something that we didn't know how to do, amen. I'm jumping the message right now. We didn't know how to do it, but we learned how to do it. We became experts of it, amen. We became experts out there, even in darkness. Being blinded, being deaf, deceived, we became experts. Why? We continue to step out a little bit deeper and deeper into darkness. And before you know it, we could do it. We could really mess up big times. But then God calls a man, God calls a woman, he sets them free. And then God starts requiring from our lives, and we get to this place where we feel inadequate, that we can't do it. That we can't do it. If I just had a job, well, then I could answer the call of God. So you get a job. She's like, he would send Moses, his brother Aaron, to speak for him. So you get a good job. Now you got a job, and the job's pulling you from fulfilling the call of God upon your life. If I only had a wife, God knows I've been looking for a wife for so long now. Amen. And if I only had a husband. If I only had a child, then all these things take place. But still, we find ourselves in between the lines saying, I can't do this. It's too hard. You can be highly educated, got a good job, finances, all the above, saved by grace. And we say things like, I can't do it. Or it's not worth it. I have goals in my life. It's not to live in the church. I have goals to make big money. Amen. I got goals, amen, to just really make something for my life. Amen. And each one, tell your neighbor, you've been called of God. Tell your neighbor, you've been called of God. And if you don't believe that neighbor, turn back to the other side neighbor and tell them you've been called of God. Does anybody ever struggle in this area? Man, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I really can do this. You've been doing good for 6 months, a year or two. You're doing, I can do this, I can do it. And then you hit this wall, you hit this barrier that says you can't go any farther. You can't go any further. We all do. And this is where faith comes in. The title of this night's message is, The Time Is Now to Step Out in Faith. The time is now to step out in faith. And we're going to be going to Moses here this night. One page, I have you guys out of here early, amen? Even before 8:30, amen? Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 3. Once again, it's an honor to have Teen Challenge here with us tonight, and to know Craig and you know, just to know that God's doing a work. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. If you don't have your Bible, it should be on the overhead screens. Amen. This is where God catches up with Moses. Amen. God catches up with Moses at the burning bush in the desert. Amen. He's now roughly 80 years. He had done 40 years under the Pharaoh, and now he's been in the desert roughly 40 years, and he's on the run. He killed a man. there in Egypt, and all of a sudden God appears to him from a burning bush and starts to put the call upon his life. Amen. And setting free out of bondage, amen, all of the Israelites, amen, that had been in this condition for over 400 years. We pick up in the story, it says in verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you for this opportunity this night to be able to see ourselves in Moses. And I pray here this night, Lord Father God, if there's a man, a woman, or a youth member that is struggling, they feel they're at a standstill, at a wall, a hurdle they can't get over, and they're about to quit, that by the end of this night's message, they would be encouraged and say, I can do this. God is being too good to me to go back to the world. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. So here the call of God comes upon the life of Moses. And when God gives him the assignment, Moses is like, me? And Moses says, who am I? Who am I? Out of all people, who am I to go to the Pharaoh? To let all those that were in slavery set free, amen? Moses knew how Egypt ran. He was under the Pharaoh, the son of the Pharaoh, for over 40 years, so he knew the system there. He knew Pharaoh wasn't going to budge. And if anybody was going to make Pharaoh budge, it was going to have to be an army even greater than the army of Egypt, which there was none. Egypt was the army. So Moses now is having a conversation with God, and he says, who am I? Who am I? I really believe that at this point of Moses' life, he knew who he was. I really believe at this point of our lives, you know who you really are. You know what's taking place in your life. You know the good and the bad. The Bible says that he gives all men a conscience to know right from wrong. I really believe this night, just as Moses knew, that we know who we are this night. We may not know all things, and we may not know our future, but presently, here this night, we know who we are. We know where we've been. We just don't know how to get to where Jesus is calling us to get to. And I believe here on that day, when Moses said, who am I? I truly believe in my spirit that he knew who he was at that very moment that God was speaking to him. Just as much as you know who you are as I'm speaking here this night. You know your condition. You know what things need to be changed if you're going to continue to be prosperous in the things of God. But here, I believe I put here in my notes real simple stuff after I got the call from Craig. Amen. The Bible reads in 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Here in my notes I put, it's not that Moses didn't know who he was. It's what God was calling him to do. Amen? It wasn't that Moses did not know who he was that allowed him to reply to the Lord, who am I? It was what God was asking him to do that allowed him to get in this place of Who am I? I can't do that. I know who the Pharaoh is. Matter of fact, nobody can do it. I believe Moses knew who he was. But when the call, the assignment of God came and hit his ears, all of a sudden he did not know who he was. All of a sudden he was in a place where he knew he couldn't do it. Now I believe verse 12, the Bible says that God says, it's okay, I'm going with you. I know that God knew that Moses couldn't do it, but it was the man that God had called. And a lot of times we feel like Moses, that we just can't do it. We might have been having success for years. We find ourselves between a rock and a hard place and saying, man, can I really continue in this walk with Jesus? As further as I continue, I would think it would get easier, but it's getting harder. Because you're getting closer to the call of God, the manifestation of Jesus moving upon your life and through your life. Moses struggled with his identity because he didn't feel qualified in doing God's will when the assignment came his way. He didn't feel qualified. I believe right before the burning bush experience that he was doing great, taking care of the sheep. There in the desert, he was doing okay. He thought Egypt was behind him. The man he killed was way behind him. And he said, I'm cool with this. I'm cool with this. I can do this. Until God spoke. Moses struggled with his identity when it came to answering the call of God. In verse 13, the Bible reads, the one thing he sort of says, who am I? In verse 2, we find out another one of his struggles that we all face as new converts in the Lord. And then there's some people that are saved year after year after year and remain struggling in this era. And this is one of the main areas why people do not answer the call of God upon their life. God has not made a mistake in choosing you. Even though we all come with baggage and a background that not even the enemy could use us no more. But God says, give me that man, I can use him. Give me that woman, I can clean her up. And the second thing that I believe that many struggle with, answering the call of God and going from glory to glory, is found in verse 13. In verse 11, he didn't know who he was. In verse 13, the Bible reads that Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? Here, Moses struggled with who he was in answering the call of God. And then he also struggled with, who are you, God? Who are you? He knew if a series of questions would be asked when he would ask the Pharaoh to let God's people go, that he would not be able to describe God. Moses not only struggled with who he was, who am I, but it was also, who are you, in verse 13. He knew if he was to have to give a breakdown, a little Bible study, a little devotion, that he wouldn't be able to do it because he did not have a relationship with God. And I believe a lot of people, it happens in our program, it happens in Teen Challenge, where you can do the whole program and still not know God. So when your director asks you to do something that is spiritual, not the food is ready, but something that is spiritual, I can't do it. Why are you asking me to do that? Get Joe to do it. I believe why a lot of Christians struggle is because they never reach a place of having a relationship with God, a true relationship, where they would be able to describe who God is. You would be amazed when I ask people, who's God? It's a simple question. Well, on the Christmas program on TV, was it Christmas or was it Easter? But was he the one that died on the cross? That was Jesus. And you really, really don't know the simplest things of God and how he moves in your life, how he moves in your spirit, and how you know he's guiding you and leading you and wanting to use you. But I believe here Moses says, when they ask me these questions, who am I going to say you are? I don't even know who I am with the assignment that you have given me. I don't know who you are. What do I do next? And I believe a lot of us struggle, because this was one of my personal struggles. I was a real hard worker when I got saved in the ministry. I never worked a day in my life but slinging dope, amen? I never really had a real job. So when I got saved, something happened, man. I was ready to go to work now for the Lord. I didn't know how to flip a burger at a McDonald's. I never had a simple job. And I would start learning jobs, and I would start expanding my mind and how to create and how to think and in the business world and doing this and this. And I would start growing in the things of the Lord. But I didn't know nothing. And I would go 1 year in the church. And because I was so obedient, and I was such a hard worker, and I was a tither and a giver, I started having a lot of influence in the church. But inside, I did not know who God was. Even though I knew he was working in my life, even though I knew he was changing me, even I caught myself saying, man, that person's lucky, man, I'm saved now, because if I wasn't, man, I would have done this and this. I knew that he was doing something in my life, but I didn't know who was the person that was doing what he was doing within my life. And I always tell these to the rehab guys who are in a circle, new converts would be talking about Moses or David, and I would real smooth get out of that conversation, because I didn't even know who Moses or David was, more or less God himself. And this is a great truth that I'm speaking on right now. How many know that it's real sometimes real hard to get in your word? Can I get an amen, somebody? For some reason, you can pick up this magazine or that magazine, this book, amen? But when it comes to opening the word of God, struggle. Because it's a spiritual book. It's a book that the enemy don't want you to open. It's spiritual. And the enemy will be happy you to come into every church service and not knowing God. Why is it so hard to open the Bible? Why can we read another book and just keep reading? And why when we read the Bible, all of a sudden it happens to me. I just hate it when Pastor James says he can read a whole book in one setting. I hate that. Don't say that stuff around me. Get me in the flesh. But I was so happy one day, Pastor Jamie was at my house. And we were putting together a syllabus. I'll never forget it. We were putting together a syllabus, and he's real computer literate and all that stuff. I'm not. But I was coming with some revelation, and he was putting it down, and he would come with some of his, and he was typing so fast, where it wasn't tick, 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 where it goes, it was like going, it was like fast. I said, why do you got to type so fast? Why do you got to try to make me look bad? Why do you got to type so fast? I said, that's getting me mad right now. Slow it down a little bit. And then he does his looking at the ceiling like, and then I look at the ceiling, I said, What are you looking at? You looking at a spider? Is God up there somewhere? Then he goes, and I'm waiting for him to make 100 corrections on the typing. He keeps on typing. I said, slow down. Show off. But then he said this, and I'll never forget. He says, now you know how I feel when we're out there evangelizing. Because when I'm out evangelizing, that's my element. I'm out there, and I'm just all over the place. You see, so we all have strengths and weaknesses, and that's why we need to come together with our gifts and our strengths. So when me and Jamie come together, the syllabus came out great. When me and Jamie get to a rally, the rally's going to come out great. Amen? Because it's going to take all of our input to do what God has called us to do. We all got strengths. I got strengths that Pastor Jamie wishes he has. He's got some that I wish I had. But I've come to a place in my life that God did not create me like he did Jamie. And Jamie also knows that God did not create him like he knew me. He used to struggle trying to be like me. I said, you really wanted to be like me, Jamie? He said, man, I tried to do everything like you, Pastor. And he struggled within this area. And sometimes we struggle trying to be somebody else. When God has given us all assignments, a calling upon our life. But it's going to take faith. A faith in Jesus. I by far should be the last candidate behind a pulpit right now. But I kept stepping out in faith and I kept stepping out in faith. I kept making mistakes. But it was the call of God, the assignment for my life. Here Moses did not know God well enough, I put here, to describe him. Moses plainly did not have a relationship with God. And I believe a lot of times the reason we struggle, you can be going through the program, but are you really, really being intimate with Jesus? You can be coming to church, but are you really growing and having a relationship with the Lord? Or are you just doing time, going through the motions? There was no way Moses was going to fulfill this assignment going through the motions by telling God, amen, amen, you got anything else, God? Yeah, I'll take care of that tomorrow. Who am I? Was his answer. The third point is found in chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Man, when I came out of prison, my life started changing. Simple message tonight. It's a rehab message, amen, rehab bite message. I would call my mom and dad straight from prison. Man, I'm changing. I'm saved. And my mom said, okay, son, here's your dad. Here's your dad. And they were like, oh, my God, now he's using Jesus to get his hustle on. You got to remember, I wasn't always Pastor Charlie. I was a dope fiend. I was a dope dealer at the end, a dope fiend shooting dope every day, 24-7, OD'd 15 times. Nasty at the end. I was a nasty individual. Scandalous, shiesty, all that stuff. See, I ain't got no problem saying all that because I'm not that person no more. I ain't that person no more. I got no shame in my game. I've been delivered by God because he had an assignment for my life. I couldn't continue to be shiesty with the assignment of God upon my life. I grew in conviction to stop doing those things that were not cool anymore. And for one, Moses started saying, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? What if they don't listen to me? Here Moses felt intimidated. Didn't know who he was. Didn't know who God was. He worried about the people's reaction instead of God's reaction. He was more worried about what the people were going to say And we're talking 2.some million people, Israelites, and all of Egypt. He was going to have to do this all before this great mass of people. The people of God and the enemy. And he was worried about what the people were going to say or how they were going to answer when he would say, "Let my people go." He felt all inadequate and he was all caught up in fear and how they were going to respond instead of being caught up in how God was going to respond to everything that he would say. And I got a little point here. It's a good one. It's simple. No Greek, no Hebrew, and even no Mexican tonight. Amen? How many of us still worry about what people have to say? That's a heavy one, man. The altars are open. Where's the keyboard player at? Teen Challenge went like that on that one. Tonight, a couple of batteries in the sock, and we. How many of us worry about what people have to say? We get so caught up in what people have to say. Now, Moses was all caught up. This was him not being there yet at that place to answer the call. And he was answering like, what? He was all tripping out on how they might answer. Amen? But I'm saying now, saved, sanctified, in the will of God, we still trip on what people got to say about us. We still trip out. I know I do. I keep it real. Did you say I keep it 100, bro? I just don't let it mess me up forever and ever for weeks and months and years and all that stuff. But there's sometimes, hey, man, I got to dig deep. I got to dig deep and I got to look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm the pastor. My bad. I'm the pastor. Love, compassion, shepherd, and all that stuff. We sometimes trip out so bad in what people have to say. We leave the church, we leave the calling of God, and all these things over what somebody has said. When God would tell Moses, I'll tell you what to say. Just open your mouth and I'll give you the words. It will be me. He told Moses, he told Joshua, if they don't listen, they're not going to be disobedient to you. They're being disobedient to me. I've come to a place in my life now with wisdom and the many years I've been with the Lord now that when people don't agree, they're coming against God. They're coming against God. As God would tell Moses and Joshua, it's not you they're being disobedient to, it's me they're being disobedient to. We worry in what people have to say, down to what we wear, girls, what makeup we put on, if the skirt's too short or too long. And we get all caught up in what people have to say, where it literally stops us from answering the call of God upon our lives. I believe there's a good percentage here right now as I speak. Some of you are getting your toes stepped on. You blame it on Craig, the Teen Challenge director. Some of you are going to go back, Craig, why did you tell Pastor Charlie to speak? Somebody told him I was mad at her. I was mad at him. Nobody told me nothing. Your directors just told me to preach tonight. We got to grow past that area It's going to always hurt. But as we grow, it shouldn't hurt as long. If you find yourself saved 1 year, two, five, 10, and you still stay long at mad at people for the longest time, something's wrong. Blue's Clue, something's wrong. Ten years later, you still wanting to kill a person, something's wrong. How many of us still worry about what people have to say? And that's knowing God, being saved. It's a work of the enemy. God is not the only one that uses people. The enemy uses people, and we all know that one for real. The enemy uses people. Fourth point. You know, all these struggles Moses was going through. Chapter 4, verse 10. Real familiar scripture. Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." Moses was coming, he was just saying, "In the past I never could speak good, and even right now as you speak, I'm slow." "I've never been a good speaker, neither in the past or up to now as you speak to me." I put here, this is another truth that we all got to cop to. I believe we all feel inadequate in the way we speak before people. I believe we all feel inadequate in this area. It's just not a given that takes place when you're saying, "Go give a Bible study." I believe we all feel inadequate in this area. You may not believe me this night, but I still get highly nervous before I come up here to speak. Come on, Pastor, yes. Because I know I can't do this. Moses knew he couldn't do it. And there's where God would reassure him that he would be with them. That he would be the mouthpiece. That it would be his plan, not Moses' plan. God's power. I go through my little ritual in my office. You guys don't know it, but I do a series of calisthenics. That's what I'm going to call them. Stretches for the old bones, amen? That's what it really is. And I'm in there, and nobody's looking around. And then I get up here at the ruin. I think I'm all lubricated and, you know, ready to go. And then somebody starts knocking on that. And I'm here right before I start doing my stretches. I believe all of us, whether you're highly educated here this night, when it's fulfilling the call of God, the assignment of God, we feel inadequate. Poor Pastor Jamie, you just happen to be in the first row today. Pastor Jamie says, "I'm cool preaching in front of people because he can give a good message." But he says, "On that one-on-one stuff, I struggle." And I never knew that so many people struggled with the one-on-one area. And then another one of my leaders, I said, "What?" It just happens to be my area of, it's a given for me. So I just thought it was a given for everybody. But it's not. It's not. It's not. I believe we all struggle in the area and the way we see, the way we speak. We struggle. And you know what? We trip on so many things, and then I preach a message on a Sunday, whatever it is. "Oh, Pastor, that was a great message." "Yeah, yeah, right." "No, Pastor, that was a great message." Yeah, right. Because I believe sometimes we think so poorly of ourselves that we feel we can't do it. And I believe a lot of times we revert back to who we were in the past. Moses would tell God, "In the past, I couldn't speak right, and right now before you, I can't speak good." I believe a lot of times when the call of God comes upon a man's life, a woman's life, I believe we revert back to the past and who we were in the past. And the enemy gets us in that place where we're trying to answer the call of God and who we were in the past. The Bible says we're a new creation. I'm in a series right now in the church dealing with faith. It takes faith to follow God. Sometimes the assignments he gives are, get out of here. Who am I? I got to know a lot. I better learn a lot more about you to get that one right. And a lot of times we struggle. Man, and I speak from experience this night. They used to have me open up a service in Salinas, California, Victor Outreach, and I would be in tongues in the back. I would be crying and broken. They would walk by a room and say, man, that Brother Charlie tripping. I would go through all of that just to open up a 1 minute, open up the service. God, you're going to have to speak today. God, I can't do it. I need you, God. And by the time I'd come out of there, I was sweating and everything. And then I would be at the front row. These are true stories. They're going to be in the book. Craig's going to sell a lot of them for me. You guys don't know it. There's dope man connection, and then there's the Craig connection. Craig got connections, man. Big money connections. And I would be there. Okay, I'm ready. I can do it. I can do it. The worship song's coming to an end. I can do it. I can do it. I can know. And I start shaking and. And people are like, what's wrong with that guy, man? I'm talking all out fear, sweating. And I start getting nervous, and the song's coming to an end. I got to go up there. Pastor goes, go ahead, go up there. Oh, my God. I always have a pen. I pull out my pen, and I start saying, okay, this is the first thing you're going to say. And I write down the whole opening, and I put the pen back, and and I would walk up there shaking like a Texas rattlesnake to say, I want to welcome everybody here this night. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering, amen. Hallelujah. Who's excited here this night, amen? I opened up to the book of Romans 8:31, and the Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? I want to let you know and be encouraged this night, for God is with us, amen. I could never do that before. That was way out there stuff, theologian stuff. I couldn't do it. Sometimes I mess up when I got to pick up the offering or open up because I don't do it that much no more. But that little segment I just gave there, I couldn't do it. I was so tongue-tied, man. I came here as a pastor years and years later, man. I had the revelation of God, but it wouldn't come out of this mouth. I would go to preach at a regional, and my tongue, I would drink water, buckets. I would drink so much water to keep my tongue loose. It would get stuck at the top of my mouth. And we'd smoke all that crack for days in and days out, and you'd get the cotton mouth and had white all around your mouth and scraping it off to put it on the pipe. Tripping. I mean, tripping out, man. Crack didn't have nothing on me opening up a service. I was like Don Knotts. You got to be old to catch that one. Amen. I would go to a regional service and get stuck. I mean stuck. You know, some of those people hit the pipe and they can walk away from it real cool. And then some of them just. And you know, they got the only pipe you want to hit. And you got to wait and you got to wait and you got to wait until they come back down. Okay, here you go. I would get stuck. I've been clean 15 years. Nothing has got in my system and stuck. True story. I was picking up the offering. Pastor Nick is like this. He looks at you like a bulldog, right? He's few for words. All the region was there. All the pastors were in the front row. And he He said, pick up the offering. I said, do what? Pick up the offering. Oh, my God, I'm looking to see if there was enough water up there to pick up offering. I went up there, went to the scripture, and da-da-da-da, and I expounded on the scripture. And then I got stuck. I'm a pastor. And it was like everybody had left the building. And I'm... It was a freeze frame. Simon says, don't move. And I'm like, I couldn't even go like, or play it off. I was stuck. The whole building disappeared. Seven churches there. I'm just, for my God's sake, picking up an offering. I'm stuck. The tongue went to the roof, and it stayed there. Everybody disappeared. The only person I could see was Pastor Nick. My tongue loosened up, and I looked at him in the eyes. I says, what do I do next? My exact words, man. He goes, Pastor Williams is right behind him. He goes, boom, all of a sudden. I says, we stand to pray for the offering. I got stuck. Talking about nightmares after that one and stuff. And the kukui didn't have nothing on that stuff. The kukui is a monster in Spanish, amen? Not too many of us are good speakers. Keep it real. The great thing is that we need God. We can't be a phony, a counterfeit, doing what I'm doing right now. And I just want to identify with you here this night if you have trouble speaking, man. God wants to make sure it's He is the one giving the word. He knows how He has created us. But there's that word faith. He wants us to trust in Him. And too many times we do not answer the call upon our lives because we get stuck, that we're not a good enough speaker. What are they going to say if I mess up when I'm up there? What are they going to say? What are they going to say instead of, what is God going to say if I don't go up there after all He's done for me and I let God down? And too many times we get stuck in letting people down. Never been a good speaker, man. He told them in the past. When I was under dad, under the best of teachers, I was not a good speaker until now. I'm still not a good speaker. I don't think we ever get to a place of being a good speaker. Because there's always so much more room to grow. Because of the one who wants to speak through our lives. I don't believe we ever get to that place when I get a cat under me and start saying, I don't get nervous when I go up there, Pastor. I stop using that guy. I said, I don't like the way. And every guy that was saying, I don't get nervous when I go up there. Oh, I got their faces in my mind. Not one of them has made it. Because they thought they could do the call of God without God. They thought they could speak on their behalf and God was not in it in the equation. Every man that said, I don't get nervous when I go up there. I really I feel good. No, Pastor. And these were new guys that were just starting off saying that. I says, isn't that what happened with me? An overconfidence. It's called the flesh, pride. I know you may not believe me, but I still get very nervous before I preach 20 years later. And I've come to find out, because I know it's God that has to do it. God's got to do it. And He honors that. He honors that. I got to trust in God. He is the source. I got to always remain that I ain't that nickel slick. Amen. I wasn't nickel slick in the world, though I thought I was. And we use the phrase, I'm street smart. And we all ended up in Teen Challenge and Victor Outreach because you were street smart. We all got busted. But you were street smart. In this church, we call it street dumb. He says, my past communication, I wasn't a good speaker in the past and not even in the present. I put here, share clubs. When I used to go to the clubs, dealing big dope, money, all that stuff, right? But I had one problem. I wasn't a dancer. I wasn't a dancer. In the clubs in Texas 30, 35 years ago, amen, it was either rock and roll night at Bocaccio's 2000. That was the name of the joint, right? It was either rock and roll night, country night, it's Texas, and disco night. Going back 30, 35 years. Come on, stay with me. I don't care what music type was playing that night, there was always females in the club, amen? So, but my choice was rock and roll night. I had hair down to here. But I would go to the club. My friends were crazy. They would lie to the girls and say there were doctors about to be a doctor. You liar. I just get away. My guys were crazy, man. They would make all these lies to leave with the girl. That was our thing, was to leave with the girl at the end of the club. Amen? So if that's the truth, I believe some girls' thing was to leave with a guy at the end of the club night, right? On a rock and roll night, this was me, man. Long hair, stoned out of my mind, right? Just with a mixed drink, right? I was not a dancer. All my friends, Bradley Garcia, Eddie Gonzalez, these guys were dancers. They were all that stuff, right? You know? They were all that stuff. I wasn't. And very few nights it would be to where the girl would literally come to me all the way to the wall. Say, what are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing? It was on. I didn't have to work for it, right? But if there was one that caught my eye during that night, and I really wanted to score with the one I wanted, not the one that wanted me, amen, I would have to face the fears of asking her to dance. And I was not a dancer. But, man, to leave empty-handed of the night, empty-handed and at the end of the night, was not good either. So I would have to go out there on disco night and all this disco stuff, amen, to try to impress this girl to get to the next base. The night I liked the most was rock and roll night. It was easier for me to go out there because I would put one leg like this. I'd act like I had a guitar and I would just go like this. My hair was, and I would do this. And I always wanted to be a rock star. I never was. And I could do that. Just sway my hair. But I had to go through a process if I wanted to score. If I wanted to get to where my guys were getting at by using all these lies, amen, I would have to come out of the box. I would have to go on the dance floor, and I feared that because I was not a dancer. In Chinatown, what I'm trying to say is that you can grow in your speaking skills. You can grow in your speaking skills, but you're going to have to step out. Chinatown is a hideous area. It's about two or three block radius area, just straight up 100 prostitutes out there and 100 dope dealers and 200 people coming to score. You can just be slinging dope night and day, cops all over the place. It's just a little area where there's just nothing but dope dealing going on. It's a tough area. And when I first started scoring, I would park far away from Chinatown. I would get a street person. I'd give them my money, man. They would go cop for me, and they would bring me the piece back. And I knew it was going to be short, but I wouldn't be caught dead in Chinatown. Then I started getting a little strung out. Before you know it, I would park a little closer, park a little closer. Before you know it, I was driving in Chinatown. I was scoring myself, and I would get out of there real fast because I was embarrassed to be seen there. It was a bad area of where the homeless were at and everything. And before you know it, because I kept stepping out because I wanted to get high. Before you know it, I would lose the car. Before you know it, I was walking into Chinatown to score, and I would get out of there real quick walking. And before you know it, what I was fearful and embarrassed, before you know it, I was living in the hot spots. From being with all these girls, now I'm with 24/7 around the clock with prostitutes. I said I would never, ever become a drug addict. But I went through a process. Before you knew it, I knew every Mexican connection there was in that area. I had to go through a process to get there. I didn't do it overnight. Speaking, learning how to speak better, it takes time. It's a process. It's a process. It's a process. You got to stick to the things of the Lord. It's a process. It don't come easy and it don't come overnight. Back then, we just had powder cocaine. It wasn't crack. You would have to put in a spoon or in a can or a big old pot, however much you were cooking up. You would have to put baking soda, heat it with the lighter, and stir it, and then get a little hanger in there, and then it would stick and get a little nickel in there. We used to have to make our crack to smoke it. It was just powder cocaine back then. And every time I had to have somebody cook it for me, they were going to get a kick down. Amen? I got to a place where I said, I ain't kicking down no more. That's wasted. I learned how to do it. Every time I got into heroin, then they would always shoot me up. I didn't know how to do it. But, man, I looked enough times. I says, man, I ain't kicking down. I learned how to shoot myself up within seconds. It was a process. If there's a process to become all screwed up, to have your life from being a person at one time and then all of a sudden being in some street corner, something you thought that would never happen to you, and here you find yourself in a street corner, my pastor always says it didn't happen overnight. It was a process. And if we're willing to step out to go in that process that the enemy had for us, stepping out, going further into darkness, further into wickedness, losing everything, all respect. Why can we not go in the process of going to the light, to the Lord, to be blessed, to bless others? Why can we not do the process? Because we got to do it in the light. The other one's done in darkness. This one's done with people that are thinking as I'm speaking. You all are thinking right now. When we're in darkness, not everybody thinking too good. Nobody cares. Fifth and final point. Chapter 4, verse 13. Moses had problems, man, but God didn't. God didn't. 14, the Bible reads, 4, verse 13. But Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. Someone else to do it. Here Moses, it's like me and Jamie were going back and forth wanting to be one another. Here Moses was seeing other people. He was comparing himself to other people. How many find ourselves, if I could only do as good as he does, if I could only do it as good as she does it. Here Moses started measuring himself up with other people and saying, man, why are you picking me, man? That guy's much sharper than I am. And we look at the outer appearance of that man, that woman, and we want it. But God looks at the inner appearance in the man's life, in a woman's life. He says, no, they may look like they got it, but you got it. But it's within your life. I want to let you know, if you've been called of God, I want to let you know that He has given you anything and everything you need to answer the call of God. I don't care what you, if you're still fearful of what other people will say when you mess up. I don't care if you're still fearful of not knowing your true identity yet, not really knowing God yet. All these areas you can grow in. But you're going to have to open up that Word of God. You're going to have to get in a place of prayer. Just like you had to step out in darkness, you got to step out in Jesus. But too many times we look at it as in, I got better things to do. I got to go to work. I got to pay the bills. And we come to a conclusion that what we have to do is greater than the call of God upon our life. Don't answer that call of God, and I promise you a life of misery always. We weren't up. We were created to operate outside the call of God. We already tried that. It's one thing to be under addiction outside the call of God. It's another thing to be off of addiction and still outside the call of God. All these areas you can grow in. You can grow in all these areas. I want to testify this night that I'm no longer that fearful individual that started off on this walk with the Lord 20 years ago. I want to speak life into your situation right now. You don't have to be a pro. You don't have to be all polished. You just need to be a willing vessel and let God do it. As the keyboard comes up, please. I guess the keyboard already got fearful. Amen. You see, he got scared. Anybody know how to play keyboard? Teen Charlie, anyone? You gonna Mary had a little lamb? Anybody? Come on, girl, get up here. This is stepping out in faith. I'm not joking. Gotta get some movement out of Teen Challenge. You're in our worship team now, too. I want you here. Every time Teen Challenge comes, you tell Craig I did what he wanted, that he gotta do what I want now. So says the Lord. No, bad pastor, don't say that. Somebody might tell somebody. Is it on? Oh, is it on? It's on. What song do you know? You know, Beyond Mary? Amazing Grace. That's the one as we stand here this day.